FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. The date is March 2nd, 2016. This year is just flying away here. It's unbelievable. And hey, just when you think things couldn't get any crazier, well, they always do. That you can be sure of, whether it's Donald Trump or any other crazy political happenstance that's going on. I don't know. But Chris Martinson of PeakProsperity.com is with us now to talk about these issues. Chris, always great to have you on.
Kerry, it's good to be back.
Hey, so political situation is kind of mirroring the insanity of the economic situation, isn't it?
Well, it is. You know, these things are a long time in the making, and, you can't blow a multi-generational bubble all at once. It just takes time. And, you know, in the United States, I think what we're seeing politically is not a huge surprise to me. Of course, it's always a little shocking when it finally develops, but I think we're seeing people finally coming to the realization politically that the powers that be, as presented by both parties, really don't work in their interests. They work in some other sets of interests. And it's just been astonishing to watch the media really do their level best to promote one candidate over another. Despite that, Trump has really emerged as, you know, he seems unstoppable, mostly because he's so hard for the media to resist because he's such a he's just such a quote machine, and, you know, maybe not in a good way, but there he is. He's a firebrand. He catches the attention. But on the other side, watching the media do everything they can to elevate Hillary Clinton over Bernie Sanders has been an astonishing thing to watch. People, if they're interested in how the media shapes opinion and how they go about this, that you could have no better case example than to watch this happen. And even the Wall Street Journal, which in theory is dead set against all things Democratic, as part of the show that they put on to try and pretend like there's a difference between the two parties. They've run more front page pictures of Hillary Clinton than they've ever run in the past 6 months or so, and virtually none of Bernie Sanders, maybe one or two, but she's always in the most flattering light, smiling, and just watching the Wall Street Journal do everything they can. Why are they doing that? Do they love Hillary? No, but boy, they want an establishment candidate. The Wall Street Journal represents the establishment. They can't possibly do anything more than to get an establishment person back in the driver's seat because it's all about maintaining the status quo. Bernie's a threat to that. But of course, Donald Trump has the entire machine on both sides of the aisle just absolutely tied up in knots because he's not their man. And that's an intolerable prospect to a system that is entirely about having controlled and controllable candidates in the driver's seat doing the bidding of whoever it is that calls the shots.
Yeah. Oh, you're so right. I mean, just watching them. Well, you know, Hillary Clinton wants Bernie to stay in this race as long as possible, because as long as he is there, she doesn't have to address Donald Trump. And believe me, they are scared to death of Donald Trump because he's an unknown quantity. They don't know how they're going to handle him. And the one time she attempted to call him a sexist, it didn't work out too good.
No, he's bringing, we need some other term besides Teflon. There's some other substance that he's made out of it. It's weird. But at any rate, you know, I think that all that really, if we peel away the layers, what's being channeled here is people's extreme discontent with the way things are progressing right now. And, you know, that's the part, love him or hate him, that, you know, when Donald Trump stood in front of the entire Republican field and said the Iraq war was a mistake and it was founded on lies, and to hear the packed audience boo about that, you know, he was just speaking the truth. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that's in that particular instance, he was speaking the truth. And that's something that's really desperately in short supply in the political debates. And of course, Bernie says a lot of truths as well. And so they just can't possibly have Hillary not talk about her record fast enough, you know, because she voted for everything that I personally stand against: illegal wars, bailing out immoral, corrupt banking systems, passing so-called trade agreements that really do everything to enshrine a corporatocracy at the expense of sovereignty and individuals and environmental rights and all sorts of things that I tend to care about. So yeah, the system is really feeling, you can see how desperate the system gets when it's, you know, they're threatening to pull back the curtain and say, look, it's a little old guy yanking levers. They just don't want that moment to come. But that's what's at risk, is having that exposed now.
Yeah. And, you know, there's trillions of dollars on the line. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but the Wall Street Journal, owned by Rupert Murdoch, he is a major open borders guy, major. And therefore, Trump is anathema to him on many levels for many other reasons. But Trump has pulled the curtain off of Fox News, too, showing really exposing their agenda to the world.
Yeah, and that's an interesting thing for him to do, because he's also exposing it right to Fox's core base of watchers. So that's an awkward moment right there from a corporate branding perspective. What do you do? He really has him in a knot over that one. I don't know what I would do if I was in their situation, because he's proven Fox to basically be a biased bunch of shills for his point of views that doesn't work for the base they're pandering to. It's a really awkward situation in many respects. So, let's cut to the chase here. A lot of this also has to do with the fact that the economy is not doing that great. All the statistics aside, once you peel back the covers on those too, you discover things like, yeah, unemployment rate's down, but that's because we don't count people anymore and the participation rate's really low. And of the jobs that were created, it's waiters and bartenders and things like that. And they're not really high quality jobs, and manufacturing continues to hemorrhage and bleed. And even as we're offshoring the high value jobs in America, the corporatocracy here doesn't know what to do besides milk the cow even harder. We pay the highest drug prices in the world. We have the highest telecom fees with some of the worst service anywhere in the world. If you don't believe me, go to Singapore, go to Europe, yeah. Try your phone, check out the bandwidth speeds, check out the prices, and you'll discover just how badly you're getting bent over here in America. And so, you know, people are getting squeezed from all ends, which is like, you know, the broad-based, well-paying jobs are gone, and the costs just rise and rise and rise. Rents, drugs, food, medicine, all of that stuff just through the charts, off the charts, through the roof, just absolutely no relationship to the story we're being told, which is that our cost of living is dangerously low right now. We need to get inflation up. Thank you, Fed.
I hadn't noticed that one. Man, my cost of living has gone way down, you know, other than saving a couple bucks at the gas pump, you know, maybe $5 when I fill up, which I don't fill up as nearly as much as I used to, because my car gets 25 miles to the gallon highway. Really, what do I gain here? Right? What do I gain? I don't know.
Right. We're seeing the best market propage that thin air money can buy right now. The whole thing is just, if it looks like a scam, smells like a scam, tastes like a scam, it probably is. And you know what's interesting to me is now increasingly when I do go to the comment section under an article about how the market was up, at, say, in the Wall Street Journal, theoretically, that should be a hotbed of conformed groupthink about how great it is that markets are going up. But increasingly, you see people weighing in there in the comments saying, this is rigged. This is bullshit. I don't want to play this game anymore. You know, this has nothing to do with value investing or little people anymore. This is just computers playing against each other for thin air money and you know, or some version of that. Trust is low. Trust has really been shredded. And how could it not be? You know, I read an open article. It was penned in a major newspaper, and it was openly saying this. Probably the FBI has Hillary dead to rights on some things that any other human would be charged for. But because Obama considers Hillary to be the best tag on to his legacy, he's not going to have his Justice Department pursue her. What do you mean his Justice Department? When does the president get to choose which felonies get prosecuted or not? Right. Or at least, you know, yeah, at least prosecuted to see where the chips may fall. So increasingly, you know, people in this country see that. They get tagged as little people for the most minute of crimes with the full weight of the law, and the big and the powerful skate and skate and skate over and again, you know, and, you know, even when they get tagged, they don't get tagged. There's a case dragging through the courts right now where a guy who has a mortgage that was being badly handled by HSBC, and they were supposed to, you know, they had this big fine that was assessed for all of the criminal stuff they had done. Remember, and they were supposed to do these mortgage workouts, and they weren't doing them. So he said, I want to see the document that shows the report that shows how well you're doing at these things that were part of your so-called fine. And they don't want that data released. And finally, a judge says that's going to be released. And it's just throwing the whole banking system into a tizzy because people are going to get to look into to see if even the minor fines they were assessed, even if those are even being appropriately collected. And guess what? Obviously, sure they're not. That's why they don't want to release the reports. So again and again, you know, this, I think all I can tell from say the Trump and the Sanders side of things is that people have said enough and and we want change. I mean, real change. And I'm you know, I'm there. You know me, I'm fully there.
Well, hope and change. It's a, it's always a prescription for getting elected, right?
Well, yeah, you know, but all you have to do is promise and then pull the football away once you get there, of course. And people have, I think there's real chance. Listen, we're seeing that what I would consider to be the early stages of revolution. This is how it always unfolds, right? Mm. And there's revolutions of thought, and then there's revolutions with pitchforks and a whole spectrum in between. But this is the early stage. This is people increasingly saying, we're done, we're fed up. You know, there's a really nice two-part report at Peak Prosperity Charles Hugh Smith wrote on this topic, really framed it nicely. But what happens, whether you're in Roman times or current times, is the elites lose touch with the commoners and the gap grows, and then it becomes too big of a gap to sustain. And then some sort of revolution happens. And so we're seeing a political revolution happening right now. But if the elites squash this, and there's every chance they will, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
If you haven't studied voting irregularities in 2000, 2004, 8, and 12, like every one of the past four cycles, it's astonishing the statistical improbabilities of results compared to exit polls, of the downvoting issues that happen, of the gerrymandering, of the absolute vote sweeping and rigging. These things happen. They happen all the time. It happened in the Kentucky election for governor recently. It happens all the time. Happened in the Ohio marijuana vote. Like, the votes just got flipped and nobody can, you know, call anybody on it because it's all electronic. So to the people out there who think they have a chance of voting their candidate in, do not be surprised when suddenly at the last minute you discover that they lost. And by a whisker, by the way, they know that a 50.1 loss to a 49.9 loss is somehow
still
more acceptable. It'll happen again. That's the world we live in, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, there's all sorts of irregularities in Mississippi last year with Chris McDaniels, who won the primary, then he didn't. Then they, you know, he was going against the incumbent Senator Thad Cochran, who was really flawed, had a lot going on. Then they started a racist campaign against him, the establishment Republicans, saying he was racist, and they got all of these Democrats to cross over for the second primary, and the guy was out. And boom, that's the way it works, you know, politics in America today. I agree with you. A lot of voter fraud, a lot of problems. So, hey, Chris, where do we find you, and where do we get your book?
Well, you find me at peakprosperity.com, and the book can be found there. It can also be found on Amazon. The most recent book is Prosper, and that one's doing well, and it really talks about how people can begin to make themselves and their loved ones, their families, more resilient in these ever turbulent times. And The Crash Course is the original book and video series that talks about that one's problem definition, Prosper, solution space.
All right. Prosper. So go to Chris's site, buy the book, check out his work. I know you'll be as impressed by it as I am, and we will talk with you again soon, my friend.
Thank you. Can't wait.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.